Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Chittletow from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Indianapolis are Fernanda Baraldi, who's Senior Director, Ethics and Compliance at Cummins, and Ed Broker, who's a partner at the firm Frost Brown Todd. They'll be talking today on the subject of compliance diligence and M&As, and it's a topic of their session at the 2021 Compliance and Ethics Institute, which will be taking place in Las Vegas from September 19th through 22nd. First, Fernanda, Ed, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, our pleasure, and thanks for speaking at the conference, too. So, Fernanda, let's start with you. When it comes to mergers and acquisitions, the sooner the compliance gets involved, the better. When should the compliance team be brought in? And a related question is, how can compliance encourage the business team to bring them in at the right time?
Yeah, Adam, thank you for your question. And again, it's a privilege to be with you and your audience today. I think, again, the answer is on your question. The earlier, the better. But I think my belief is that a compliance professional needs, especially in-house, needs to have a really, really close relationship with the business. And hopefully, as a compliance professional in-house, you are working through that relationship for a long time. When it comes, so the M&A team and the business team will bring you, and you will be aware of it before it actually happens. You will be part of the conversations and the discussion and the ideation of the M&A. If you are new to a company and you have not had the chance to, you know, engage in that healthy, trusted relationship with your business partner, my recommendation to you is to do that as soon as you can, so you're not surprised with M&A at the integration phase, but you're brought along through to M&A at the LOI or even before. A compliance professional brings a lot of value in the before due diligence phase, when you can immediately help the business team to identify potential risks based on type of operation and countries of operation, from a data privacy to a bribery perspective, from a money laundering to a human rights perspective. Hopefully use the business team to get the answers you need before you even get to put your hands on the diligence document. So that would be my approach.
Well, and certainly, like most things in compliance, the sooner you have a handle on the risk, the better. Now, Ed, how should the compliance team plan its due diligence? Should it be purely risk-based, or are there some elements that should be examined every single time?
Well, thanks, Adam. And I concur with Fernanda for allowing us to speak today. It's been a privilege to participate. When it comes to the diligence, I think it has to be more than just risk-based. Obviously, under the sentencing guidelines and all of DOJ's interpretations and guidance documents, M&A due diligence is absolutely critical, and you have to do it. But it has to be like all due diligence or all of the compliance programs. It has to be more than just a check the box exercise. You actually have to be involved in the process and understand your target and some of the ramifications associated with what your target and the business associated with your target can lead to. And that, as Fernanda mentioned, requires an understanding of both your business and also the target's business. But and then another important factor that I think everybody needs to understand and be aware of, and just like all of compliance in your own organizations, is the culture. You can have the most beautiful compliance program, and your target can have the most beautiful compliance program, but it doesn't mean a thing if it's not implemented or if it's not a proactive document that people actually live and breathe within the organization. And so I think that that's the hardest point from a compliance due diligence, is actually understanding how this beautiful program is implemented and practiced. So you're going to have to actually do some interviews of your peers in the target organization, if you're allowed to, if the deal team allows you to actually get to that level of interviewing them. And then you're going to need to ask specific questions about culture, about receptiveness, about training and effectiveness of training.
You know, talking about culture is always important. There's that oft-cited statistic that half of mergers fail because of cultural issues. And it's not just business culture, it's compliance culture. And a lot of the big compliance failures came because culture wasn't adequately assessed. Now, Fernanda, what are some of the more subtle red flags to watch out for as you're doing this due diligence and getting to know more about the company that's being acquired?
Yeah, so thank you, Adam. This kind of goes hand in hand with what Ed just said. So not only knowing your company's culture, but your target's culture, try to, you know, understand a little bit of their business before you acquire them. It also, it's helpful because it helps to plan integration. It helps you to plan integration better. But one of the subtle red flags that not a lot of people would look for would be, for me, a company that, just going to give an example, has a population of, I don't know, 5,000 employees in China. It doesn't have a single ethics case or a single hotline complaint coming from China, right? So sometimes due diligence is too focused in finding those cases that have been corroborated, that have been substantiated, and it forgets that understanding culture is something much bigger than that. So that would be a red flag for me if you don't have any cases at all coming from places where you have big populations, right? Because then you probably don't have a good, solid speak-up culture in those places. Mm-hmm. That would be one of those, for example.
Let me follow up on that. One of the things that you tend to look at when you're making acquisition is the company's existing compliance program. What should you look for in a target organization's compliance efforts?
Yeah, so you should not be only looking, I think this is much of a given depending on the audience we're talking to today, but you should not only be looking whether they have a code, whether they have policies. You should be looking for existing controls they have in place. You should be looking for, do they have a compliance structure? Can you actually have a discussion with the target about what is their compliance structure? You should not be looking for training completion rates, because again, that only tells you that the company is good in pushing out training, not necessarily that people are learning from the training. You should be, again, back to my prior question, my prior answer, big mismatches, like big population numbers and no compliance cases, no hotline complaints. Just go beyond, and I even wrote about this a couple of years ago, go beyond the substantiated cases. Go for looking for the employee spread, where the employees are, where the big businesses are, the big lines of business for your target, and thinking about what kind of, you know, buzz do you see coming from those places. That gives you a really good insight into the company's culture. And I mean, if nothing else, it helps you to prepare for a solid integration, which you should be planning for its start as soon as the business, as soon as the deal is closed.
And you definitely don't want compliance to be holding things up at that point. Now, Ed, finally, you're an advocate of compliance champions post-acquisition. How can they help?
Well, I think compliance champions are important throughout the entire organization. And I think what you need to do is leverage the resources that you have available to you and pick out individuals that have similar mindsets or responsibilities, even though they may not be in the compliance function per se. But I think that what you need to do is to enable people in complementary organizations. So you have maybe in the internal audit, or you have in the legal function, or in even sales and marketing, you find a ally or an advocate in one of those areas, and effectively deputize them and make them your eyes and ears within the target organization or the newly acquired organization, and make sure that they become your best friend as it relates to compliance related issues, so that when a new initiative is coming down the pike, you can make sure that they're involved in the process of implementing that within the newly acquired organization, or that they are fully aware of some of the initiatives that you take strongly, and so that they know that if there is an issue post acquisition, that they have a voice and somebody that they can pick up the phone and give you a call and make you aware that, hey, look, we had this problem that nobody really disclosed beforehand. We need to really deal with it, or it may be something that we kind of, glossed over a little bit trying to get the deal done, but now it's coming up and it might be time for us to take a deeper dive into it. So I think that making sure that you get out into the newly acquired entity is something that's very important. And then this kind of also circles back to some of the earlier comments about getting your seat at the table early. I think that it is very important for compliance to, particularly if you have a pretty acquisitive company, to make sure that you have regular. I know that some of my clients have quarterly meetings with the development team, so that they just have a regularly scheduled quarterly update with the business development team, so they know what is going on down the pike. And that's just one of the quarterly meetings that they have is always on the calendar. And so they always get updates both in terms of what has been done correctly and how they can improve, but also what's coming down the pike, so that they can be aware and make sure that the compliance is at the table.
The more advanced warning you have, the better prepared, obviously, you are. And to your point about the ambassadors program, it's great what they can hear from you. It's great for you to get greater reach. We are developing a conference that'll be on October 14th on that topic, because one of the things we found, it was sort of surprised us, is how many organizations are already so far down the road in developing ambassadors programs. And we figured it would be a good thing to share with people too. But let's focus now on where you'll be on September 21st, which is giving a much longer version of this talk on compliance, diligence, and M&As. And that'll be at the 2021 Compliance and Ethics Institute. We look forward to having you there. I want to thank you for taking the time to share your insights with us today. And I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.